7:09 in the morning. This hour of Wake Up brought to you by Cabco AZ Central Arizona Block. Let's go right to the phones, making her debut. And most likely when she's done with us, after she hears me talk, she'll be like, it's my last interview on Wake Up. No, I'm just kidding. DEA Special Agent in Charge for the Phoenix Division, State of Arizona, is Sherry Oz. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
So how long have you been the Special Agent in Charge for Arizona?
Well, I started during the most amazing time, March 1st. I started during a pandemic.
Welcome aboard.
New job. Thank you.
Where's Sherry Oz from originally in the world?
So I grew up in Chicago, but I chose Phoenix as my adult home when I was very young. I started my law enforcement career here in Phoenix.
It's like it's like the forever home for an adopted pet. Phoenix
exactly.
Is your forever after escaping from Chicago.
The one I picked, exactly.
Cubs or White Sox fan?
White Sox. Thank you for asking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. Where did you start your law enforcement? Starting your law enforcement career in Phoenix, where did you start?
So I applied, and somehow they hired me. I was very young with Phoenix PD, and I worked South Mountain Precinct for years, and then I was a detective before I moved on to DEA.
And why DEA of all the federal jobs you can join in the world of law enforcement? Why did you pick the Drug Enforcement Agency?
Because we're awesome. We're like the FBI, only cooler. But don't tell them I said that.
Well, you guys had a jump start with the whole, Miami Vice had some DEA guys
exactly.
Helping Crockett and Tubbs. So
yeah, we don't dress like that anymore. But. The job is spectacular. We're a single mission agency. We go after the worst and the most violent predators in the world. And so for me, that was very enticing that that I was making a huge difference, that the impact would be so phenomenal that we could actually save people and help people. So for me, that was my calling.
Leading up to being the head of this division, give us some tidbits from your experiences in the DA leading up to this spot. What were some of the real on the ground work that you were doing that is serving you now that you're in charge of the division? Give me a couple of those experiences.
So I did my first 10 years in Los Angeles, Los Angeles Field Division, and there I was able to do general enforcement, interdiction, MET team. We used to have this mobile enforcement team, and also a task force type work. And being a case agent and being able to run my own cases, my MET deployment, we took out 123 gang members. We faked a murder. We were hired to kill a guy. It was this amazing investigation. 6 months of just hardcore pressure on gang members and drug traffickers, and we were able to really clean up a whole city. So I saw firsthand how our resources put to good use really impacted. The mayor of that city went in the newspaper and said the streets of San Bernardino are clean. It's the first time ever. It didn't last long. I mean, things are what they are, but it was so impactful, and it really gave me a sense of DEA overall, because I knew that we were able to push forward and be able to have an impact on violence on a community that we live in, a community that we care about. I went to Miami as a supervisor and had a lot of overseas investigations where we extradited from foreign countries and brought our cartel high value targets to justice. So that was specifically very rewarding as well. And then I was in DC for a long time and then in Seattle before coming back to here.
So we can't say you don't have an amazing resume, especially of locations, right? You've done it all. You've done Miami, L.A., and Arizona. And we even talked about the dangerous swamp called Washington, D.C. But I will tell you that. So what I want to do is I want to bring you back and I want to talk about the state of drug trafficking in Arizona and what does DEA 2020 look like, especially in this world of COVID. The DEA, I have a soft spot for the DEA. A long time ago, I used to do a lot of support work. I'm trying to remember that you guys hopefully you still do a big golf tournament in Phoenix that supports survivors of DEA agents killed in the line of action. I forgot the name. It was named after an officer who died. I'm trying to, I don't know if you remember
so
that.
We have the Richard Fass up
That's
here.
That's the one.
And now there's the Arkash is in Tucson, so we actually have two.
Oh, okay. So I've played on the Richard Fass one and supported it financially with companies because I got to be good friends with Tony Ryan. I'm sure you know Tony Ryan. You know Tony?
Thank you.
And yeah. So what happened was, so when you guys approached me for this, this was an easy one because I got to know a lot of officers in the DEA. And so I'm so thrilled that you're on the show today. So welcome aboard. And I want you to hold on for some commercials and we'll come back and we're going to talk about DEA Arizona 2020. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We got Special Agent in Charge Sherry Oz on the phone. You have a question? Give us a call. 790-2040. Wake up Tucson 1030. The Voice. We're on with DEA Special Agent in Charge for Arizona, Sherry Oz. Sherry, welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's talk about drug enforcement in 2020 in Arizona. Give us an overview of what you guys and girls are dealing with.
Well, 2020, like everybody else, has been a banner year for us. We've had cartels have certainly changed some of the way that we're doing business. We have not stopped. We are relentless in our pursuit to get them. Since July 1st, we've seized almost 2,000 pounds of meth coming into the country through Arizona. That's just in the last 7 weeks. So cartels changed a little bit of what they're doing, just like they always do. They adapt to the circumstances, and we adapt with them. They have not slowed down. For sure, they're still trying to bring it in, and because the funnel is smaller, because we are the restrictions at the border have made it different for them. We are taking off bigger loads because there's fewer people coming across, and some interesting and innovative ways to get it through to smuggle it through.
Such as?
So, now we have backpackers that are walking across. And they're carrying 35 to 40 pounds of fentanyl, 35 to 45 pounds of meth, which is normally not the case. We've had backpackers in the past, but they were marijuana people, and that was, you know, a decade ago. So we're getting some of that a resurgence. We're also getting a lot of unique ways to hide the drugs to get them in. We just had a seizure where we had they seized 130 balls, bouncy balls, the kids' bouncy balls that are liquid filled and they have little lights in them, and they were all filled with liquid meth. Yeah, right? Your dog pops one of those.
I'm always fascinated when I interact with Customs and Border Protection and they tell me all the crazy way thing. I haven't heard that one yet of the injected kid balls. That's amazing.
Yep. Innovative techniques. They'll do anything to get it in. We are addicted to their product. We keep buying it. They're addicted to our money. They keep bringing it in so we can be poisoned by it.
So really. The restrictions at the border crossings, is it just pushing more into that area where you and Border Patrol in between the ports is getting busier?
They're finding new ways to conceal. So, and there's fewer people that are able to cross on a daily basis. So while we used to have 100 people come across with 10 pounds each, just made up numbers for easy math.
Right.
Now we have 10 people coming and they each have 50 pounds each because they're still trying to get the same amount through. They just have to take bigger risks per courier. The prices for couriering have gone up, obviously, four times the price, just like the price of meth and fentanyl has gone up four times what it was in February, March.
So if the price, I hate to make these assumptions. When the price goes up four times, and you have people of a lower income class that are usually victims of this kind of stuff, I assume that increases possibly the amount of property crime, so they can pay for the increased amount of their fentanyl and methanol meth. Is that, am I making too much of a jump there?
That's a likely jump in my experience.
Gotcha. 790-2040 is the phone number. Is he on the phone? All right, let's go. One of the greatest callers' names ever. He just popped up in the last month. Joe Cannoli. Joe, you're on with Sherry Oz. It's like a book writer. I got Sherry Oz with Joe Cannoli. Joe, what's up?
Joe Cannoli from the neighborhood. Listen, my question is, how much does city county or state policy affect you doing your job?
We're federal laws. So our job is to enforce the Controlled Substances Act, which is a federal law, goes, you know, coast to coast. But some of the city, state, and local, I guess, restrictions, if they're more restrictive, that we can work within that, but sometimes they're less restrictive, and then the federal law would always trump any other law.
Thank you.
Joe, thanks for the call, man. Have a good day. The fentanyl and meth are still the top two things you guys are dealing with?
Yes.
And I assume because it's easy to move, it's small, and it's the best bang for the buck.
Well, in the past, cocaine and heroin were our big ones, marijuana. Those are all plants. So they are subject, they are victim to the weather, the climate, drying techniques, you know, any kind of manufacturing type thing. Now with meth and fentanyl, all you have to do to make them is buy the precursors that are readily available and cheap from China, from India, and then put them in your lab and make them. So the quantity is unlimited. They can make as much as they can buy for precursors, which is unlimited as well. So it becomes cheaper and cheaper because they're able to make so much of it. And then getting it across is, again, some of it like is water soluble. Some of it can be in a solute that will keep it in a liquid form, which makes it very easy to disguise, and then bring it over and they convert it here before selling it to us.
Talk about the violence that's associated with this, because it's just not the idea that the DEA is dealing with just the actual couriers. Let's talk about the enforcement side of this.
So drug trafficking cartels are the most violent organization, and they go worldwide. Mexican drug traffickers, cartels are violent. I can't even describe to you the things that we see and that we hear about. The slightest infraction, the slightest disloyalty, disobedience, and they kill each other. They kill rival cartel members. They kill their own cartel members because they don't fall in line with what the cartel wants. The cartels are very, very powerful. They have a lot of money, and they don't have any conscience guiding what they're doing. For us, enforcement-wise, it's very important because those cartels take their poison right through your backyard, through my backyard. It's important that we stop them and we not let them influence us and bring their dope into the country as well.
Sherry, our producer Ed has a quick question for you.
Yeah, are these cartels, is their headquarters just in Mexico? Or are they, like, from Europe? Where is all this, where is the head of this that you're talking about?
So the cartels are all, well, these particular cartels, the ones that affect us here in Arizona,
okay,
are Mexico-based cartels. So the trafficking lines are designed or designated in Mexico, and they decide amongst themselves who gets what, and they all have territories. It's like having a corporation down there, and your company is this, and you own Arizona. So everything that moves through Arizona for us is controlled by the Sinaloa cartel. There are other cartels like CJNG it's a new cartel that is newer and extremely violent. They don't have any decorum or any tradition that they're holding on to for safety. There's no sense of family. They're just ruthless. So we have to be relentless in our pursuit of them so that we can save American lives.
And just to show you the ruthlessness, we just had in the last 24 hours in Jalisco, the cartels took somebody, cut them open on video, and did horrible things to them. So,
yeah. Yes, I just got a text about that right before I came on.
It just keeps going and going and going. Now, Sherry, we're going to get one last question in. I might want to get from a listener. If we run out of time, we'll do this again, okay?
Sure.
So let's go to Bill number two on line two. Bill, you're on with Sherry Oz from the DEA. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, everybody. Sherry, I read somewhere where most of the Mexican cartels get their actual chemicals to make these drugs from China. Is that true?
Yes, it is. China and India are the biggest suppliers for the precursors. And Mexico has huge super labs that are capable of making, it's really unquantifiable. We have no idea how much they could do.
So, you know, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people think China's still our friend, but they are, if they're sending all those chemicals down there to be processed for use up here, it's not a good thing. So, thanks.
Thank you, Billy. I won't even get in. I want to get Sherry in trouble in talking about why does the Mexican government let super labs exist, but that's life. Sherry, one last question unrelated to your job. We asked this. We only have 40 seconds. Your top two favorite locally owned restaurants in Phoenix you like to eat at?
Oh, God. Anything Mexican.
That's good. You're in the right ballpark. Give me one place up there you like to go to.
Haymaker.
Haymaker?
Yes.
That's a Mexican?
It's not Mexican. No, it's not Mexican.
Oh,
okay.
It's like
giving you something else.
Where's Haymaker?
It's in Peoria.
Okay. And what do they do?
They do America. Really nice. There's flags all over the wall. And they have nice drinks.
Awesome. Well, after a rough day at the DEA, a cocktail at the end of the day is probably worthwhile. All right. Sherry, it was great meeting you on the show. We'll do it again, okay?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.